Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Elaine B. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today's date is Friday, September 15th. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 154, paragraph 2. It begins with one dismal afternoon and it ends with a lonely weekend. Today's readers are Davlin E. for the 12 Steps, Rhonda R. for the 12 Traditions, Julie E. B. will read and comment on our text, Lorraine N. will read 164, and Chanel T. is here for backup. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for September 14th, Thursday, is 20646. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20648 for Friday, September 15th. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Excuse me. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Davlin E. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Davlin E., and I am a compulsive overeater living joyfully and gratefully in recovery in Manitoba, Canada. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood God. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you very much, Davlin E. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Thank you, Elaine, and good morning, everyone. Rhonda R., grateful and recovering in Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. And thank you for the opportunity to do service. I will pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 154, paragraph 2, and I will now ask Julie E.B. to please begin reading for us.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. One dismal afternoon, he paced the hotel lobby, wondering how his bill was to be paid. At the end of the room stood a glass-covered directory of local churches. Down the lobby, a door opened onto an attractive bar. He could see the gay crowd inside. In there, he would find companionship and relief. Unless he took some drinks, he might not have the courage to scrape an acquaintance and would have a lonely weekend. Well, this is a powerful reading. You know, it's set about a journey someone took to Western City and how they were going to have this big successful trip, and then it went bad. So already the justification keeps going, you know, starts going. And more about alcoholism, it talks about, you know, that we have these justifications that build up sometimes from emotions, sometimes from trying to fit everything together. And then it talks about the other way that we can be justified, which is to be made right by a higher power. Those are all the definitions of justified. Well, here you've got the dismal afternoon. So, of course, you deserve to binge or to control your food. And you're pacing. I just identify with this, having all this energy, wondering how the bill was to be paid. Boy, have I faced that. I faced an audit within the last year and was able, because of this program, to stay entirely abstinent. And, you know, wondering, I have no idea what's next, what bill's going to be paid, what things are going to happen. At the end of the room, there's that glass-covered directory of local churches, and it's almost described like it's a little cathedral. He knows he can probably reach out and find help there. And then he looks inside, and look, everybody else looks happy. There's the comparison that gets going inside of me. Everybody else has everything all together. Everybody, the happy crowd inside, and I don't know how to be a part of it. I'm so isolated. in my disease. And I still face that when I have certain feelings. I think it's just me. And that's why I have to keep on the phone all the time. In there, he would find companionship and release. He was just looking for that little bit of release, little bit of connection. However, he knew that he needed some drinks, because if he didn't have that, if I didn't have that bite, if I didn't eat cake with everyone else, if I didn't drink coffee with my friends, then I might not have the courage to scrape an acquaintance that I assume would pay for those for that food. And he would have a lonely weekend. And if you look at Bill's story, the most important part of Bill's story at the beginning for me is that first paragraph when he talks about loneliness. Loneliness is a big part of the disease for me. And the other part is an inability to deal with reality, especially when reality does not go my way. A full flight from reality. And sometimes we have dismal afternoons. Sometimes we pace. Sometimes we don't know how things are going to get done. We can see that room. That directory, we can see that we could pick up phone numbers, that we could call someone else. But the habit is to go down and look from the outside in on the rest of the world and decide we don't fit there and we can't fit there. But actually the food is helping us to make connections that we need. But the food is lying. The truth is that without the food, I can work these steps, really get to know who I am and what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking, and turn to a power greater than myself that can solve these problems. Thanks for letting me share. And Julie E.B.
Thank you very much, Julie E.B. Great start. Okay, though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have not shared in the last couple of days, then please press star one to unmute if you'd like to comment.
Sherry M.
I heard Bruce E. and Sherry M.
Robin P.
And Robin P.
Chanel T.
Chanel
Donna
P.
B.
Donna B. Awesome. Okay, that's what we got. Bruce E., Sherry W., Robin P., Chanel T., and Donna B. Please share with us, Bruce.
All right. Thank you very much. And I am grateful for this day. I'm grateful to be sober and abstinent today. I'm recovered in Fort Myers, Florida. Grateful for that. Grateful for this call very much and all the people that serve on it. So here we are. We got a dismal afternoon, right? And I saw some things in this reading here today that I hadn't seen before. That was the one thing, was a dismal afternoon. So looking back, thinking back on when Bill got saved, about the time he got saved from alcoholism, Ebby came to see him, and it was a dismal day in November. You know, a bleak day. Maybe it said bleak day, but, you know, mean pretty much same thing, right? The dismal afternoon, I mean, it's probably a Thursday or Friday, because it says, it would be a lonely weekend. He would have a lonely weekend. It must be towards the end of the week. It had this major disappointment with, he went there, he thought he was going to be fixed for life financially. It turned out that the whole deal that he went there for bombed. And man, now he's in big trouble. No money. Going to have a lawsuit coming. And he's in trouble here. And the other thing I see here where it says he could see the gay crowd inside. So now, before, I think he could only hear it, I thought it said. But now it says he can see it. So that's even worse yet, right? When you can see the half a birthday cake that my daughter left, because she, you know, the gay crowd only ate half that birthday cake. And there's the other half in the refrigerator, and I can see it when I open up the refrigerator. That's even worse, you know. Isn't now, but it used to be. Man, it was tremendous to have to look at that stuff, smell it, look at it. You have the compulsion, the obsession. It's terrible. And it says, unless he took some drinks, He cannot. So he's got a choice here to make. He's got the church directory at one end of the hall. He's got the gay crowd in there that he can see and hear, and they're all in there having fun, or it sounds like it. So unless he took some drinks, here's the choice he has to make. Go for the directory or go for the crowd in there. He might, unless he took some drinks, and I think he's probably got enough money on him to take a couple of drinks, and that's about it. I don't think he can pay his hotel room. He might have the courage to scrape an acquaintance. He needs fellowship. You know, he needs people to talk to. You know, and that's the way it always is. Every day, I need fellowship. Thank you. I need people to talk to every day. And, man, I got a list of them from this call. So I appreciate that, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Bruce B. Sherry W., you're up next, followed by Robin P.
Hey there. Good morning. Sherry M. here, gratefully recovered in Wyoming. Thank you so much for moderating. And what's really standing out to me in this paragraph is the lies that my disease tells me. So I truly believe, you know, it talks about alcohol just a few times in the big book and when we're working the steps. But what it's really to me is that food, compulsively eating food and the food addiction is a problem. But it is not the problem, in capitals, the problem. The main problem that I have is a disconnection from my power source. And the power source is what keeps me close and connected and safe and protected. And so this lie that if I eat, I will feel companionship, or that, that I will have release, is the ultimate lie in the way that this disease gets us, because it couldn't be more opposite. What happens when I compulsively overeat is a disconnection from life. It is a consumption with self. It is a self-loathing, a self-hatred, a self-sabotage. It's all self, self, self. And when I'm in self, I cannot be connected to you, and mostly to God. And so, again, I really relate to thinking that, you know, I have been in a lot of financial, before I found the tools here and the answer, which is in the steps and being recovered and being entirely abstinent, working the steps and having freedom, I would often be in financial fear and of course, turn to food, right? Because food is I'm going to die anyway, so I might as well eat. And I'm so grateful to have a different way of life. And so it doesn't matter if I'm on my last dollar in the bank, or it doesn't matter if I'm sick again, or it doesn't matter if this person dies, or this happens, or life happens. There's nothing that the food is going to give me that is going to make any situation happy, any dismal situation happy. It's a lie, and I know the truth. And the truth is getting on my knees and connecting to the power source. And God could and would have thought. And so when I seek God with all my heart and with all my energy and with all of my vigor and my action, I find God, and then God keeps me safe and protected. And so that dismal afternoon actually doesn't even look dismal anymore. It looks happy and joyous, even though it's the same so-called horrific situation. It can be a joyous freedom. So I'm so grateful for Vision for You. I'm so grateful for everyone on the line, and I hope everyone has a blessed day. Thank you so much, Pat.
Grateful for your share, Sherry M. Okay, Robin P., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Chanel P. Star one to unmute Robin P. Are you there, Robin? Okay, why don't we have Chanel T, and then Robin P will be after Chanel.
Okay, that works. Hi, this is Chanel T. I'm in Washington State, and I'm so glad to be here with you. Grateful compulsive eater living in recovery by the grace of God today. So isn't it interesting, you know, when you read something inspired like this, when I read something inspired like this, how it something different will jump out to me each time. And I look at when it says at one end of the room stood a glass-covered directory of local churches. So think of that like the voice of my higher power, I choose God. It's self-contained. It's quiet. It's there. It's definitely there. He definitely saw it. He definitely noticed it. But it's quiet and self-contained. Down the lobby, a door opened into an attractive bar. Yeah, you know, that's attractive. It's pulling, and there's noise coming from inside, right? It's louder, like my disease. My disease is a pathological liar, and it'll start with truth. He could see the gay crowd inside. Okay, there's some truth to that. In there, he would find companionship and release. Well, he might find companionship, but he's going to find a shame spiral too, isn't he? So that's what I'm going to find if I go in that gay bar, if I go in that pastry shop. That's what I'm going to find. So now the lies start. Unless he took some drinks, he might not have the courage to scrape an acquaintance. No, I don't really care about the acquaintance anymore. At this point, I'm really just thinking about what I can get from the food. So the lies of my disease are pulling me toward that. Meanwhile, there's still this nice, quiet, glass-covered list of churches where I could call someone and I could talk to someone who would help me and help me help others. Which choice am I going to make? And I just love how this is painted, how he would have a lonely week on this dismal time when he didn't know how to pay his bill. No matter what the stresses of my life, I always have this choice to make, and I'm powerless over it if I don't bring God into it. I'm powerless. It's only by the grace of God that I make the choice to go to that quiet voice and listen what that quiet voice is telling me. And I'm so grateful that I have today and that I'm here with you. And that's all I have. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you very much, Chanel T. Robin P., yes. You're up next, and you'll be followed by Dana B. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Elaine. I could not unmute for some reason, so I had to call back in. Thank you. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Wellington, Florida. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, my gosh. God always gives me these choices when I'm in those places. I can either work my steps, work my program, do the next right indicated action, and listen to that quiet voice that says, hey, this seems like a good time for a 10th step. Hey, go take a pause. You know, and I always get the right inspiration, intuition. I feel like the Holy Angels always talk to me. I just get to listen. And just get out of the way, you know, that ego, easing God out. I am so grateful to God because, you know, one day at a time for over 7 years, I listened to God. And instead of the food, before the program, there was this horrible voice that would, you know, it was like, oh, you better eat, you know, like a feeling came up. I better numb out. And I felt like I couldn't say no. I didn't have any other option. Food was my God. And now I have a whole set of tools that when I'm in that place of, oh, wow, this is that bakery or whatever it is. Look at all these people going out to eat, you know, ice cream sundaes, whatever it is. I still get to go look up the church directory wherever I am, you know, and I'm so grateful that God always reaches back to me whenever I reach out or reach up, you know. It's just a miracle. It works every single time as long as I'm willing. All that I need to do is be willing. And sometimes it's that one thing, like, I'll do everything but. And so do the but and watch the miracles happen. And that's been my experience, friends, and I hope about all that. And I'm so grateful to Bill. Oh, my gosh, like it says in the next video, you know, if he doesn't do the right thing here, he would be ruining any chance for helping all these people that he can help. And if he had made the wrong choice in that moment, we wouldn't be in the fellowship as we know it today. And I'm just so grateful. We all get to do that. We all get to be of service to God and our fellows. And I pass, and God bless you, Elaine. I always, always love hearing your voice. And I'm so grateful for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I pass.
Thank you so much, Robin P. Donna B., you are up next, and please share with us.
Thank you. This is Donna B. My name is spelled D-A-N-A, but pronounced Donna. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic in Denver. And it's interesting to me that when he looks inside the bar, he imagines companionship and release. And I have to admit that the practice of calling people in the fellowship, reaching out when I'm in a dark place, sometimes the appeal of making the phone call is that I will experience companionship and release. When I had the opportunity to work through the steps most recently, my sponsor really emphasized that, right, the big book tells us the point is we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. And many of these practices or suggestions that are in the book are about growing along spiritual lines. So it's really been a shift for me. It's kind of a subtle shift because the action is still the same, but the intention is different. That when I'm struggling, and I know that the practice is to reach out to another fellow, it's not for my own companionship and release. It's so that I can draw closer to my higher power and therefore have greater access to this power that will help me be of maximum service to my fellows. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Donna B. Okay. We are reading and commenting on page 154, paragraph 2. It begins with one dismal afternoon and ends with a lonely weekend. And though we value everybody's experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in a few days and want to comment, star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Vicky T.
Vicky T. Who's that? A gentleman? I heard Cheryl S. and a gentleman. Okay. I've got Vicky T. and Cheryl S. Who else?
K.L. in Iowa.
K.L.
Sharon
E. Tom L. That's who that was. And Sharon E. Who else?
Jennifer A.
Okay. Oops. I heard somebody with an A.
Jennifer.
I'm sorry. Here's Jennifer?
Yes, Jennifer H.
Oh, H. Okay, great. This is who I have. I have Vicky T., Tom L., Cheryl S., K. L., Shannon, I believe, and I didn't get the initial of your last name, Jennifer H., and I may have room for one more if anybody else would like to get in there now, just in case.
Janice K.
Janice K. Okay, great. So we've got Vicky T. followed by Tom L. Please share with us, Vicky.
Hi, everybody. Thank you. I'm Vicky T., and I'm a grateful recover compulsive overeater in Florida. And what I got out of this is probably something funny that I don't know if anybody else got out of this, but it reminded me of the loneliness. It reminded me of being on the outside, not reminded me, made me think of being on the outside looking in. Like all through growing up, like I was not the popular kid. I was not athletic. I would be last to get picked on the teams. I couldn't climb the ropes. I was just, yeah, whatever. And like now, as part of this fellowship, as a recovered fellow, even when I wasn't recovered, it's still great, but it's way better when you're recovered, when I'm recovered. And it's like I'm popular. Everybody's popular. We're all popular. And I'm so fit. I would be first picked on the team. I could be on the team by myself. You know, it's just such a different life. You know, I don't look on the outside. I don't feel like I'm the outside looking in, like everybody, you know, the gay bar, you know, everybody's having fun in there. I mean, it's going to sound weird, but I love Zoom meetings. Like, that's my fun. I guess I need a life, but that's what I find fun. And then also, you know, how his bill was going to be paid. You know, recently I made some large financial amends, and you know what? I have plenty. I have plenty. I have money. I mean, these times are so hard for everybody, and I have money to save, even with those amends. So it's like God always provides. He really does. And seeing the list of the churches, like I find service fun as well. I get such a lift and a freedom and feel so safe and protected when I'm doing service in this program. So thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Vicki T. Tom L., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Cheryl S.
Good morning, everyone. Tom L. from California, compulsive overeater, most definitely. Made story. I don't doubt it. It really happened, but the way he puts everything, he also wrote the entire book more or less at the same time. There's a reference to similar things back in Bill's story. You know, many times I've gone back to my old hospital in despair. On talking with a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. He had done this before. This was not his first time being tempted by alcohol and return to that crazy life. So, you know, it's not like, oh, you know, God stepped in. He had experience with this, and he was going, my brain's telling me that birthday cake, as Bruce said, that birthday cake half-eaten that nobody's going to miss in the refrigerator, you know, just I could feel better right now. Later, a few paragraphs on, we meet Dr. Bob, and Dr. Bob is very familiar with many of the steps, very religious man, not quite down with step 8, though, the willingness part. He knew who he owed, but he was unwilling to make those amends. And also, he did not have experience helping other people, you know, for 6 months. Bill was an amazing salesman, obviously. And for 6 months, he tried to sell this unsellable program and didn't make it. But just the effort of doing it. And for me, when I go on a trip, I have sponsees. I have a sponsor. I have outreach calls. I don't leave them at home. I was talking with one sponsee where, you know, he just wants to spend 5 days by himself. If he's listening, I apologize. It's just you're asking for this moment where the gay bar is, you know, beckoning you. And at least for me, I need to be in contact all the time so I don't get in despair. I liked how it was put, you know, this dismal day is not dismal. It's the story I'm telling myself. It's a dismal day and everybody hates me because I'm not just a pathological liar. I'm a pathological believer. I'll believe it, man. I'm sick, so I need constant contact. I love that. Close and connected, safe and protected. I'm going to remember that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, very much. Okay, Cheryl S., you're up next, followed by K.L. Please share with us, Cheryl.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S., recovered today in Arizona. Can I be heard okay? Sometimes my headphones are kind of funky.
You sound great.
Okay, great. So what really kind of struck me was it starts with a dismal afternoon and it ends with a lonely weekend. And that's the paragraph. But it put those two parts of sentences together, and that's my life when I'm not in recovery. And that is a miserable thing. But there's a whole paragraph in between that. And that is recovery. And I am always so amazed. My higher power will always make a way. And that is a miracle. I'm sitting here racking my brain thinking, you know, how many times have I been in a hotel where I saw a list of churches next to a bar in the hotel? I can tell you, never. So there, God makes a way. He always makes a way. I don't always want to take it, and that's the scary part. And the gentleman that shared about having a sponsee that wanted to take 5 days off, I totally get that. And I'm actually horse camping right now, and I'm horse camping for 5 days. And I'm in a living quarters trailer. My horses are right outside the door. And it would be the easiest thing in the world for me not to make outreach calls, not to, you know, do my prayer and meditation, not to be on this meeting. But by the grace of God, I am today, because my natural instinct is not to do those things, because I've got an excuse in my mind. And I'm so thankful for the reminder today that if I don't put program first, if I put horse camping and my horses first, those are probably going to be the very first things I lose if I go out. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for letting me.
Thank you very much, Cheryl S. Kay L., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Shannon. Please share with us, Kay.
Thank you so much for doing the service. Thank you for everyone. Your shares are always so helpful. I came in to the world in a big crowd, a big family, and, you know, I can tell you that I was married, and some of my loneliest periods when there were plenty of people around, but I didn't know myself. I didn't know my God. I didn't, you know, I was really responding to how to be there for other people. What do you want me to be? That's what I'll be. Then, you know, and then that would, everybody was my higher power. As long as everybody was happy, I was, you know, thought I was happy until I just wasn't, until I couldn't do it anymore. But anyway, and I think that part of this loneliness is really not even knowing ourselves. And I know since I put the food down, I had many friends. I had many activities. Workaholic used to be one of my favorite addicts before food took first place. And busyness, you know, I could stay busy all the time. And what I've noticed is in the quiet and to be peaceful, pretty soon you just get too tired. You can't keep up some of that stuff. But then I did go to food, and that just didn't, you know, that had its issues very quickly. I found out that was not going to be a good solution. And there is, I love what someone said earlier about the self-loathing, the self-destruction, the self, you know, and it was really, I didn't even know who myself was. And I think I was literally trying to kill the person I woke up every day trying to be, even if it was a false me. And so part of the program is just, it feels like I'm stripping all that way and getting to one higher power, which is a loving God. And that relationship just keeps exposed. It's like peeling layers and layers of I don't know, higher powers off, and being true about who I am and really knowing what my faults are and what my strengths are and what I enjoy, what I really, I used to, whatever people liked, that's what I did, you know, and I usually was the one who made food for the event. And so, and food was a big comfort, even back then before I abused it. It was sort of that, you know, reward for surviving, like smashing myself down. So anyway, but it's nice. It's painful as hell. But I know God's will is healthy, and I know it's going to be more true and kind and loving in a more authentic way. And so I'm hanging in there with the pain. I'm hanging in there. I've had to lose some relationships because I realized I couldn't truly be who I was. And anyway, so there's all that stripping away, not just the weight, but the weight in every sense of the word. So anyway, that's all I've got.
Perfect timing.
That's all. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Shannon, if we could have the first initial of your last name, and you'll be followed by Jennifer H.
Did you mean Sharon?
Oh, Sharon. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay, cool.
I did. Thank
cool.
you. Please share with us.
One sure. I didn't remember. Don't feel bad. So this is Sharon E. from Ohio, gratefully recovered. Thank you very much for you all being a part of that. That's my connection. That's my directory is you all. I literally have a huge directory of OAs in my phone. Take it with me everywhere I go, of course. And I just felt like I needed to be part of this meeting today verbally. I kind of reiterate what some of the others had said. The lie is that I'll be more connected to life, but my connection to my higher power and other OAs is my relief. And my way of staying abstinent, I have to think about it this way. The lie is I'm going to die anyway. That's what somebody else said. So I may as well eat. But what I was thinking was, so I have to think my food is to keep me alive, not for my enjoyment. I mean, I can enjoy it, but it's not. That's not the only thing I need to get out of it. It's okay to enjoy. But my source of sustenance needs to come from God. It's like this weekend where I'm going to bake for my daughter's occasion, and as well as other foods. And then there's another occasion on Sunday where my mom's making one of my favorite things. So I need to bring something that will make it okay for me. No one cares that I'm not eating what they are. But I feel like I'm on the outside looking into that gay bar where everybody else is able to enjoy eating and they can put down their fork when they've had enough. But I can't do that because I don't have that ability. They don't need to go back for more even when their tummies are busting from being full. So it's like a bar occasion. So this weekend I'm expected to be there. So I'll be there and I need to be on my spiritual game. And I need to use that church directory, and that will keep me in with my higher power. And like I said, my directory is in my phone under OA. All of my OA people are under that. If anybody needs to know that, that's a really easy way to put it in your phone. You stick in there OA and all your people come up. I'm definitely going to use that. Thank you very much. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Sharon E. Jennifer H., you are up next, and you'll be followed by, let's see, Janice K. Great. Please share with us, Jennifer.
Thank you. This is Jennifer H., recovered compulsive overeater in North Alabama. And I'm really grateful to you guys for doing all the service to keep our meeting going. And I'll tell you, I'm grateful for the shares because when I was listening to this and thinking about the paragraph, I thought, yeah, that's what the world, that's kind of what the world says, that, you know, you have to eat, drink, and be merry and congregate and all that. But maybe it's just my mind that, you know, and my disease telling me that's what the world says. You know, I had a moment the other day when my son, he's 16 now, and sometimes he gets stressed and then he has this particular physical symptom. And he was saying, yeah, it'll happen when I'm stressed out because of this or that. And like when we go on trips and you always have to be knowing where the microwave's going to be. And so it felt like he was saying, when we go on a trip, you know, because you bring your own food, you know, you have these restrictions about, you know, bringing your food and would you be able to warm it up and this and that. It made me feel kind of bad at first, like that was a burden to him. But it really didn't hit me too hard. And I know that's my higher power taking care of me. And also just that if I listen to you guys and keep putting this in my head, I know that that's, even though it may seem like a burden to him, it's freedom for me. So just because someone else doesn't understand it or it doesn't look that way, maybe to, you know, or if I'm in self-pity, it doesn't look that way. The reality is the footwork that I do allows me to have the freedom. That's abstinence is freedom. I wouldn't be able to show up for these trips or do any of the things that I'm able to do today without it. And then the real miracle is like the day later, I was even able to tell him, I said, thank you for, you know, for understanding and for dealing with this when we go on trips, because I can see that for you it might be feel like kind of a restriction, but I know that for me it is it's the way I have freedom, and it's the work I do, you know, in order to be able to show up and be able to do these things. So I really appreciate that, and I thank you for dealing with it. And that was, I don't know where that came from. But it's so good to not give my power away to things that I perceive as, oh, the world wants it this way, you know, like the coworker who says, I don't ever know what to get you because you don't drink anything or eat anything or this or that. Well, there's plenty of things in the world that I do, and I have all of you guys, so I don't have to feel like I have to change just because, you know, some people in the world don't see it the same way. But anyway, I'm really grateful to you guys for being here. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jennifer H. Janice K., you're going to be our final share for today. Please share with us.
Okay. Thank you so much. This is Janice K. in Oregon. Okay. Bill is quite the salesman. He knows how to tell a story. He's been telling this story for the last 3 days, and we're not quite finished with it yet. The first day he has the setup. It's a business trip. He's disappointed. And then there's the lead in, bitterly discouraged. He's in a strange place, discredited, and almost broke. His predicament is dangerous. He so wanted to talk to someone, but whom? Oh, dear, what will happen? Next, we have a dismal afternoon. Not sunny, mind you, dismal. There's a happy crowd in the bar. He'd find companionship and release. You can hear in the background, you know, they still had silent movies at this time. Someone on the piano was going a tremolo, and the villain, alcohol, is there twisting his mustache. What will he do? Well, he will not indulge. I gave away the end of the movie, darn it. Outward appearances here are not our inner reality. We can act out recovery by the grace of God, with the help of a higher power. My background means that I get to describe it in words that might irritate other people, but what we are witnessing in here is an act of divine intervention. We know this spiral. We know where this goes. I know where I end up normally. And I also know that God can and will if he is sought. Key point, if he is sought, we have to ask. It won't just happen. We have to take action, and we have to pursue the steps. And that's what I have to say. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you, everybody that has shared. Okay, we will now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lorraine N., please read a vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Elaine, and good morning, everyone. I'm Lorraine N., recovered compulsive eater in Oregon. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.